Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
Well, this is our first Sunday into the new year. And so I wanted to talk about new things. I know New Year's Day was Sunday, but this is our first Sunday into the new year. And I just felt to talk about new things. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, you need not turn it up. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, these words are true and faithful." All right. The Lord said, "Behold, I make all things new." Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to your word today, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit you might invade your own word, that it can be real to each one of us and meaningful and of real value. Just have your way in the midst today, Father, with your own precious word, I pray you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. I think it was New Year's Eve here that you nearly took us off, Father John. I think some of them are back to front, those switches, yes. We try them again now, Father Terry. Thanks. I think it was New Year's Eve I said that God is a God of new things. And if you were here, you'll excuse me repeating just these few words, that God is always involved in something new. He's involved in new seasons. He's involved in new years. He's involved in new things. We have new crops. We have new births. We have new things happening all the time. God is a God of new things. And because he's a God of new things, there is something of particular importance for us to recognize. And that is, as a consequence, there is always hope. And at the beginning of the new year, if nothing else, we should have great hope rising up within us. We should have a consciousness that God has given us a new year, and that in the newness of this year, there are many new things. And one thing we can have is new hope, whatever our situation may be. Now, there is a difficulty with new things. And I want to talk about all the new things you and I have as we face this new year. But there is a difficulty with new things. And the difficulty is getting to use them. Or even if we do start to use them, getting proficient with them and developing the habit pattern of taking hold of them and doing something with them. We've got a dishwasher in our house. It was there when we bought it. Now, we'd never had one before. We've made a couple of casual efforts to use it, but it's gathered dust for the last year. We just don't use it. Now, I wouldn't be too sure why we don't use it, except we've decided that we'd like the fellowship around the sink after the evening meal. We're quite serious. It's one chance we can get together for 10 minutes and just talk and share fellowship together, and we like doing that. And you put everything in the dishwasher and we lose that little bit of fellowship. You might say, "Well, that's silly. You can spend that 10 minutes sitting down and talking." I know, it's silly. The point I'm making is we've got a dishwasher, but we've never learned to use it. We haven't wanted to. We haven't got into the habit pattern of using that dishwasher. This happens to a lot of kitchen gadgets. Some of you women folk here will have had kitchen gadgets that dad or sons or someone have given to you. And it's quite a good idea, and it lies in the drawer. We've got a whole host of them. things that one of them I know cause a pear, I think. I've always intended to see if it will cause a pear. And whenever I've eaten a pear, I've forgotten about it. Never got into that. Another one peels the skin off an orange. I did use it once. It wasn't bad. You got very wet, but I'm sure if I practice, it would take the peel off an orange very well. And I'm sure you women folk have lots of kitchen gadgets which you just haven't developed the habit pattern of using. The same applies to a whole host of things which I can mention. Automatic gears, you know, until you've had an automatic gear in your car, you haven't any interest in one. In fact, I can remember when the stage came when you could have standard gears put in automatic cars for an extra $80. It became the craze to have the old standard gears. But once you've had the automatic gears and got used to them, then of course you don't want to go back to the automatic ones. I guess the same applies to bank cards. Credit cards. I always advise people in the assembly when they're talking to me about these things, if you've got a bank card, burn it as quickly as you can. If you give it to me now, I'll cut it up for you and my scissors. That's my advice. But I guess the time will come when perhaps I'll use a bank card or a credit card of some sort. I don't know. But we've got a video receiver. We finally bought a video receiver because the few programs on television that we want to look at inevitably when we've got a meeting on or we're sleeping in bed, one of the two. You know, one of the old timers, and they put them on at 2 a.m. in the morning. So we got a video receiver. We've had it for I don't know how long, over a year now, but I must admit I can't use it. I'm glad to say Jill learned to use it, so when we want to watch something, she can fix it up and get it working. As far as I'm concerned, it's a whole host of little buttons and dials, and I just haven't yet got around to learning how to use that video receiver. And so that is in all of our lives for so many things. Something new requires the development of a new habit pattern. And so it is in the spiritual realm. We Christians have so many new things. Every one of us here in this sanctuary today, we have a whole host of new things. And even though we've heard of them, even though we have head knowledge of them, so often we just don't develop the habit pattern of using them and of letting them become effectual in our lives. But I want to talk about some of these new things today and encourage you that you can, if you'll take hold of them, enjoy them and benefit from them if only you'll develop that habit pattern of using them when they're needed. Let's just take a few of these. The first one is the new birth. We all have a new birth. In Ezekiel 36, and verse 26, we read, "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." That's talking about the new birth. And God promises with the new birth that he gives us a new heart and a new spirit. They come out from our born again experience. But I just wonder how many of us have literally encouraged ourselves with regard to our new heart and with regard to that new spirit that is within each one of us, whether we've exercised them in our daily birth. In our daily walk, I'm sorry. We have a new birth. We have a new heart. We have a new spirit. We know of that in our minds. But what have we done about it? What have you literally done about exercising your new heart and your new spirit? Or is it just intellectual knowledge which you carry around with you? And secondly, for us in this particular area of God's vineyard, we have a new tongue. And for many, the promise of the Lord Jesus in Mark 16 and verse 17, where he promised us new tongues, we have that experience soon after the new birth. And we have a new tongue given to us, that phenomena of speaking in other tongues. But again, many fail to develop that gift that was given to them. Many fail to exercise that gift. And they have had the experience and they just let it drain away and until it becomes dormant in their life. But of course, what we need to do is to take that gift and to exercise it, to make it a daily habit pattern. Because with that new tongue, the Lord has given us the capacity to communicate with him in a way which bypasses our intellect. Sometimes we find it hard intellectually to relate to the Lord. We just don't seem to have that flow. We don't seem to have the thoughts. We don't quite know what to say. But with the new tongue he's given us, we can relate so easily. Every morning of my life, I speak to the Lord in new tongues. I have developed the habit pattern, not only in the morning, but many other times, but always in the morning. I start the day off speaking in other tongues to the Lord. And I have a communication there, and it bypasses my intellect, and I don't have to think about what I'm saying, because the Spirit within me, the Holy Spirit within me, is well able, through that tongue which he has given me, to communicate that which is necessary to the Lord as I praise him and worship him and acknowledge him and bow my knee to him for the day that lies ahead of me. It's a very precious time. That new tongue is a very precious thing. There's something in it which is of therapeutic value, perhaps I should say spiritual therapeutic value to us. It's a difficult thing to analyze, but it's a very precious new thing which, with proper use, becomes a real experience in praise and worship and acknowledgement and communion with our God. Then thirdly, we have the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. I know you hear me speak of it so oft. It says, if any man be in Christ, he, and of course it's when the Bible says he, it's talking of man and woman. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I know the number of discussions and even arguments I've had on this wonderful scripture. We are new creatures. I couldn't care how you feel. I couldn't care about those old habit patterns that still perhaps bind you in some way or other, still stumble you in your walk. Regardless of all those arguments and all those situations, regardless of your thought patterns, regardless of that old style of life which you've never been able to break off from yourself satisfactorily, despite all those things, God says you are a new creation once you are born again. And you need to believe it, because you will never be a new creation until you believe you're a new creation and start to handle the fact that you are a new person. You have to get used to it. You have to practice it. You have to practice it in your thinking. You have to practice it in your speech. You have to practice it in your reactions and in your emotions and in your attitudes and in the things that you act out in your life. It has to be learnt. We have to learn how to handle it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Unless you possess your inheritance and do something with it, then it will just remain dormant. I did know a man once who in his 60s inherited a fortune, and he never used it. He stayed in a very humble little house, which he'd lived in for long years. He lived the same style of life, which he'd lived all of his lifetime. And he died without in any way using that fortune which had been left to him. In a way, it was a great tragedy. He mightn't have thought so, I don't know. I didn't know him well enough to know what his thoughts on it were. But it seemed to me, as I understood the situation, to be a tragedy. And I know that many Christians are exactly the same. Got so much, got a new life, but have never broken into the habit of doing something about using it. Not only have we a new life, but that scripture says that old things have passed away. And again, I've had so many people sit in my study and say, Pastor, if you only knew me, you'd know those things haven't passed away. And that sort of stirs me up always, but I try not to show it. Because if God says the old things have passed away, what's happened to them? Yeah, we can hang on to them. We can say, we feel the same, Pastor. We go out there and we do the same things. Well, we go out there and do the same things because we do nothing about taking this new thing God's given us and practicing living in it. Everything takes practice. Nothing is achieved just by sitting down and doing nothing about it. Whatever you've achieved in your life, watch your children, whatever they achieve. You buy them a bicycle at Christmas. Can they hop on the bicycle and go pedaling? No. You have to hold on for a while, walk with them. Then after an hour or so, when they've been practicing, you take your hand off without them knowing it, and suddenly they're away. Till they know you're not hanging on, then there's usually trouble for a while. They have to practice. Because finally, you know the old story, they get overconfident. Look, Mummy, you remember that old story, the boy peddling around the block? First time around, look, Mummy, no hands. Second time, look, Mummy, no feet. And the third time, look, Mummy, no teeth. Yes. But we have to practice anything which we achieve in this world, we achieve because we've taken hold of it, we've assimilated it, we've practiced it, we've done something about getting into the habit pattern of using it. And so it applies to understanding that old things have passed away, God's word says so, and you are a new creation. Now, I know you've got to battle with these old things. I know it's not an instantaneous result because you have to learn, as I say, to handle that truth. But until you start doing something about it and begin living according to the new, you'll stay in the old. Fourthly, new bread. New bread, a new loaf. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Let me read that from the Jerusalem translation. That says, a small amount of yeast can leaven all the dough. So get rid of all the old yeast and make yourselves into a completely new batch of bread, unleavened as you are meant to be. Now, leaven, as we all know, in the Bible talks about sin. So when we read about something being leavened, we know God is talking about sin coming in. And he says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So if you have sin in you, and you do, and so do I, then that will leaven the whole lump. The whole of our life will be influenced by whatever sin we allow to stay in our life. So we have to act. We have to do something about it. We are part of a loaf. A loaf of bread, as the word puts it, made up of millions of grains, which are people. And we have to play our part and make sure that our life is the life in which leaven has been cleansed out. Sin has been cleansed out. Wherever there is sin, there is suffering. and there may be, wherever there is sin, there is suffering. So it's our job to unleaven ourselves. And the Jerusalem makes it very clear when it says, make yourselves into a new batch of bread. Something we have to do. There's a process here that you and I have to do something about. It's not something that just happens automatically. You have to get into the habit, I have to get into the habit of breaking sin continually from my life and you from your lives. That we might make ourselves into that new batch, into that new loaf of bread. Fifthly, there's two more, this one, one other. A new commandment. In John 13 and verse 34. John 13, verse 34, the Lord Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, pardon me, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment he gave us. What a habit pattern this demands of us. Because this is completely contrary to our normal way of living. When we first came to the Lord, if you weren't always with the Lord, we certainly didn't automatically love every other Christian. Love was one of the problems of my early days with the Lord. It was a real problem to me. Because originally I couldn't even say, I love you, Lord. I could say I respected him and admired him and was awed by him and had fear of him, but I couldn't say, Lord, I love you. Love is something I had to wrestle with, take hold of and develop in my life. I couldn't develop it. The Holy Spirit develops it, but I had to practice it. I had to do something about it, and I did, because I saw that it was the essence of the gospel. It's the essence of the Word of God, the New Testament particularly. God is love, the Bible says. It's not a characteristic of his. God is love. And I had to wrestle with this one and learn that I had to love everyone in the body of Christ. Not just the ones that appealed to me, but everyone. Even that one that perhaps I found very difficult to relate to at all. Pardon me. I want to hear your handling that command, that new commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, to love one another. And yet, once we break through, there is a tremendous release in that commandment. I guess that's why the Lord gave it, because he knew that as we obeyed it, we would find a release that we never dreamt was hidden away in that commandment. New commandment I give you unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. What are you doing with that commandment? Are you handling it? Are you getting used to that new commandment so that it becomes part of your everyday life? And lastly, a new way. In Hebrews 10, and these are only a few of the news, in Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, that's where the presence of the Lord is, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. See, no longer do any of us here need to be alienated from God. Word of God says that Christ has made a new and a living way at Calvary whereby we can approach the throne of God boldly and have fellowship and relationship with our Heavenly Father once again. It's a new way. I wonder how many of us have developed this pattern. I remember speaking to the assembly years ago Wouldn't be a bad thing to do again, probably. How I developed a habit pattern of taking the tabernacle and picturing in my prayer time the tabernacle of Moses with the gate and the outer court and then the curtain into the holy place and then the veil into the holy of holies. And I used to start out there at the gate and go through that tabernacle by faith, picturing each piece of furniture as I did so. And I go past the altar and past the laver, past the candlestick and the holy place and the table of showbread and the altar of incense and through that torn veil in before the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat where the presence of the Lord rested. And I'd spend perhaps half an hour doing that. Maybe one day we'll talk about that again in more detail. And I learnt how to handle this new way. I learnt how to approach the presence of God through a new and a living way which Christ made open for me and for you there at Calvary. Have you developed this habit pattern yet? Have you reached out and taken possession of this most glorious gift that you can enter daily by an accessible door into the very presence of your God? Or is that just religious and strange talk to you? Six things I've dealt with today. New birth, new tongue, new creation, new loaf or new bread, new commandment, and a new way. What an abundance of new things for us as we enter into the new year. It's only six of many of them. I wanted to just sow the seeds in your thoughts and in your lives today. I want to encourage you not to let them be like our dishwasher at home, stuck in there under a bench, gathering dust and never being used. I want to encourage you and exhort you, take hold of the new things God has given you. He's a God of newness. He's a God of newness to every one of you here. And he's given you a new year. And these things which you might have known of for long years can be new again this year if you like to reach out and begin to make them a habit pattern in your life. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, you are a God of new things. Lord, if there be one person here today who is still living in bondage to old things, to old habit patterns, to old thoughts, to wrong attitudes, whatever it may be, oh God, I pray you, even at this moment, let there be a breaking in of light and an understanding. They can begin to walk in newness of life if that is their desire. That you've given them something new at the beginning of this year. And if they want it, they can reach out and take hold of it and practice it until by the power of your Holy Spirit, you make that thing become reality in their life. Now bless your own word into the midst of your people, I pray you, Lord. In the name of the living Christ. Amen.